What I'd like you to do is go ahead, turn over to Ezekiel chapter 37. Tonight, I'm going to be doing something that I very rarely do, and that is use PowerPoint to, I guess you could say, help illustrate the sermon. And what I'd like you to do is turn over, like I said, to Ezekiel 37, and we're going to read several verses here. Ezekiel 37, beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. We'll stop right there. Now for those of you that are watching this video, I'm leaving the platform at this time to go to the computer to operate the PowerPoint. So you may not see me for a while, but you'll hear me, praise the Lord. Okay, now I want you to look at this passage again, and I want you to kind of get the image of what's going on here. In Ezekiel 37, he makes this statement that God has moved upon him. And I want you to look kind of in the middle of this, where in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, God begins talking to Ezekiel. And he asks him a question. He says, Can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, Well, you know, God, you're about the only one who knows. And the Lord says, All right, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to speak to these bones, and I want you to begin to give to them my word. Now, if you'll look here in these verses, look in verse 4. And again he, the Lord, said unto me, Ezekiel, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, now, at this point, who's talking to the bones? In verses 4 and 5, who's talking to the bones? Nobody. Nobody's talking to the bones. God's talking to Ezekiel. You see this? And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can the bones live? And Ezekiel says, I'm not really sure, but you know. And the Lord says, Well, here's what we're going to do. I want you to prophesy to these bones. I want you to speak to these bones. And the Lord begins telling Ezekiel what to say to the bones. But nobody's talking to the bones yet. All right? Now, in verses 1 and 2, he says, The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me in the midst of a valley that was full of bones. All right? Now let's walk through this entire passage and let's think about this. First off, what did Ezekiel see? What did Ezekiel see? A valley of bones, right? But now look in your verse, look here in Ezekiel. And what was the condition of the bones? Very dry. They were very dry. But if you look in verse 7. What does it say? Well, he says he prophesied and commanded and so forth, and as he prophesied, it says he heard a noise, and behold, a shaking. Now look at the rest of this verse. And the bones came together, bone to bone. So what did Ezekiel see? Well, he saw a valley of dry bones. Bones everywhere. But the problem is, that's all they were. Just bones. Bones here, bones there. Like old McDonald's farm. Old McDonald had a bone. Everywhere a bone, bone. In other words, the bones were in disarray. And God tells Ezekiel what to do. So he takes Ezekiel to this valley of dry bones, and he says, look at these bones, Ezekiel. Verses 1 and 2 describe the problem. What's the problem? All we have is a valley full of dry bones. That's it. A valley full of dry bones. And God says, can the bones live? Ezekiel says, well, I'm not really sure. Verses 1 and 2 are the problem. Verses 3 through 6 are the solution. Now look at this. And he, the Lord, said unto me, Son of man, can the bones live? I answered, Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy to these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, and he goes on and the Lord tells him what to say. Ezekiel's looking at a valley of dry bones. That's all it is. Now, let me ask you a question. When Ezekiel starts to talk, who's he talking to? He's talking to a bunch of dried out bones that aren't even assembled. They're just bones laying all over the place. And he's got a problem. God says they can live. But what does he see? He sees impossibility. He sees nothing but a bunch of dry bones that mean absolutely nothing but death, right? They represent death. What Ezekiel sees and what God sees are two different things. Can you see this? And what God's trying to do is to get Ezekiel to see what he sees. The problem is Ezekiel can't see it. Not in the natural, he can't see it. And then when God tells him, here's what I want you to say. Ezekiel begins speaking, but what he's speaking to is just a bunch of bones. So, he has God's word. And he looks at the bones, and he begins to speak. Now, what is he speaking to these bones? Well, he's speaking what God told him to speak. But let me ask you a question. Is he speaking something impossible or possible? I'm talking about, he's looking at a valley of dry bones. That's all he sees. So in the realm of the natural, is he speaking something possible or impossible? He's speaking something impossible. You're absolutely right. So he is looking at something that makes no sense whatsoever. He knows what it represents, death and destruction, and he's got a word from God. So he begins to speak to a situation in the natural that is impossible based upon what he's speaking. So he begins to prophesy. Now, look what happens here in verse 7. He says, I prophesied, how? As I was commanded. In other words, he didn't change the word of God to fit his circumstances. He spoke to the circumstances according to the word of God. Can you see this? So he begins to speak, and it says, and there was a noise. And it says, and behold, a shaking. And then what happens? The bones start coming together. Now what does he have? He's got a problem. Verses 3 through 6 are the solution. But God's word, as revealed to him in verses 3 through 6, is not enough. It's not going to do anything. He said, well, sure it will. Just read the rest of what you just read there, Brother Martin. No, it won't do anything. You know why? Because at this point, all Ezekiel has is God's word. Until he starts applying God's word, nothing is going to happen. See that? And the moment that he begins prophesying as he was commanded, and he begins speaking what God has already spoken, he hears a noise, and there is a shaking, and then all of a sudden, the bones come together. He has He begins the application of the solution. And as he begins the application of the solution, he begins to see the manifestation of the promise. And so he begins speaking as he's commanded. And the first thing that happens is the bones all come together. But he's supposed to do more than just speak to the bones to come together. So he keeps speaking. Now what's the next thing that happens? In verse 8, it says, I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But what happened? There was no breath in them. In other words, he's speaking, he's making some progress here. The bones have come together. Already we have a miracle. And it goes beyond just the bones coming together. But there's flesh. There's meat. In other words, we've got a person now. And a bunch of people. The problem is, there's no breath in them. And the Lord keeps speaking to him. And he says, now Ezekiel, we're not finished here. I want you to call upon the winds. And you know what the verse says. And so he prophesies. Like the Lord tells him to prophesy. And he continues to speak. And it says here in verse 10, I prophesied as he commanded. And it says, and breath came into them. And they stand up and they're alive. Amen? Somebody's enjoying this. He says, I prophesied as the Lord spoke. And the breath came into them. And they came alive. Amen? But this is not the fulfillment of God's desire. We've got the bones put together. We've got the flesh on them. Now we've got the breath in them. But this is not what God is after, is it? What we're looking at right here, these guys standing here like this, this is not what God had said, is it? Look at the end of verse 10. It wasn't just a matter of the bones coming together and the flesh coming over the bones and the breath coming in so they would stand up alive. It was a matter of them standing up alive as a mighty army. This is what God was after the whole time. Now think about this. Verse 10, the end of verse 10, is the full manifestation of the promise. It's the full manifestation of the word that God had given to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel began speaking to a situation that was totally hopeless. In the natural, there was no way that this could happen. Yet because he had a word from God and he began speaking that word, exactly what God had given to him, he ended up with exactly what God wanted him to have. Now, as Ezekiel sees this, he is seeing what God had been seeing the whole time. God wasn't just looking at a bunch of bones and hoping something would happen. God looked at that valley of dry bones and he saw the potential of what they could be as opposed to what they were in the natural. And God knew that if his word could get released and have an impact on those dry bones, he could raise up a mighty army. Now, think of this. What if Ezekiel had stopped in verse 7 or verse 8? What would you have? Well, you'd have maybe a bunch of bones that have been assembled together. Or maybe you'd have a bunch of bones that are assembled together with the flesh on them and you know the muscles and everything on them. The thing is, if he had stopped with just the bones put together, you know, it'd just be a matter of time before those bones would fall down or blow apart again. If he had stopped with just the bones and just the flesh on top, that would have looked good, but there was no life in that. In other words, he could have stopped at any point in time, and he would have had a degree of success. However, as time were to go on, he'd end up with another valley of dry bones, because the flesh without life in it just deteriorates and goes back to what it was. And you end up with what? Another valley full of dry bones. Now, in our lives, here's what we have. We have two things. We have God's promises, and we have God's promises manifested. You have God's promises and you have God's promises manifested. You say, what's the difference? Every one of you in here are living the difference. Because you see, if you have a Bible, you have God's promises in your hand. But just because you have God's promises in your hand does not mean that you have God's promises manifested. So as Christians, we have the Bible, we have God's promises, but having God's promises is a whole lot different than having God's promises manifested. God's promises unmanifested are like Ezekiel's dry bones. The potential is there, but you must speak life into them. Let me ask you a question. Let me just think about this. How many of God's promises have ever manifested in your life without you doing anything about it? You didn't even get born again. God's promised salvation to everybody that calls on the Lord, but you didn't even get born again until you acted on that promise, now did you? You were lost. What's the solution? God's Word. God's Word about what? God's Word about Jesus. Romans 10, 9 and 10, for example. Call upon the Lord, be born again. That is the solution. But until you apply the solution, you don't have a manifestation of the promise. All you have is a promise. And see, there are a lot of Christians, and right this right here, this is identifying a major problem with a lot of Christians. They talk about the promises they have, but they're never manifesting in their lives because they're not speaking life into those promises. So you can have all the promises in the world, but again, God's unmanifested promises are like Ezekiel's dry bones. The potential is there, but you must speak life into them. You have to speak life into them. Well, what is life? God's Word. God's Word is life. All right, now let's use one example, one that everybody in this room can relate to. Sickness. When you're sick, you don't want to be sick, do you? When you're sick, that's where you are. But you don't want to be there. Where you want to be is healed, right? Now, do we have promises concerning God's or concerning healing? Absolutely. Look here at this. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their bones, or flesh. Health to all their flesh. See this? So we have a promise in God's Word concerning healing. Now, what we're looking at here, this is just one example of the healing. Any problem you have, any problem, whatever promise that you have in God's Word, that's all it is a promise. It doesn't mean that it's manifested in your life, but it is a promise. Just like God made a promise to Ezekiel about those bones. But the thing is, until Ezekiel started speaking God's word of life to those bones, he never ended up with that mighty army. So when we're sick, we don't want to be sick, we want to be healed. And we have God's promises. His word, their life unto us, their health to all of our flesh. And so we begin to apply some of this. Now I want you to see something. Turn over to Mark 11. Mark 11. Now look in verse 23. Mark 11, verse 23. Jesus says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Did Ezekiel apply that? Absolutely. He applied this principle, and he got what God told him he could have. And Jesus says, look, if you say to this mountain, well, in this example, what's the mountain? Sickness, okay? So if you say to sickness, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. All right, what are the things that you're supposed to be saying? God's promises. Why would you say anything else? Think about it. If you want God's promise to be manifest in your life, why would you say anything other than what God's promised? Why would you speak anything other than what God has said? Now look over in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, look in verse 14. Jesus said, "The sower soweth the word." The sower soweth the word. The focus here is on the word of God. Now look over in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, two verses, verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right, so what are we seeing in God's Word? What we see is Jesus is telling us that we can have whatever we say if we believe in our heart and we don't doubt. And obviously the things that we're supposed to be saying are going to be God's words, because God's promises are what I want manifested in my life. I don't want stealing, killing, and destroying manifested in my life. I want life and life more abundantly manifesting in my life. So if God's words are life, then I can begin speaking those words and I can begin to see the manifestation of this. The sower sows the word. So I'm sowing the word of God. I'm sowing the promises of God. And as I'm sowing the promises of God, I'm sowing to the Spirit. And of the Spirit, I'm going to reap life. Well, he tells us up here in Proverbs that God's word is life unto them that find them and health to all their flesh. So therefore, the more that I'm speaking God's word, the more that I'm speaking God's promises related to a particular situation, is the more that I am speaking life into that dead situation. The more that I am speaking health into that dead situation, whether it's healing or anything else that I want to see take place. So I have the solution. The solution is God's Word. The solution is confessing God's Word. The solution is speaking what God has said and speaking His promises. So I begin to do that. And I begin to confess, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I begin to confess, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I begin to confess, God sent His Word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. These are God's promises. These are a part of God's Word. Now, I want you to notice something here. Do you notice how that we've increased a little bit in our healing? See this? We begin to speak His Word, and the promise begins to manifest in our life. We begin to confess His Word, and the thing that He has promised, which in this case, this example is healing, it begins manifesting. It begins to take place. But where does it start? Where does the manifestation start? In the realm of the Spirit. Because if you sow to the Spirit, you reap life. You've got to sow to the Spirit first. In any problem that you're facing, you have to sow to the Spirit first in order to reap the life of the promise, the manifested life. So we begin confessing the Word, and we begin to see a little bit of progress maybe. But the progress is taking place first in the realm of the Spirit. So we keep speaking, and we're seeing even more progress. And we keep confessing. And we keep confessing. And boy, I'll tell you what, things are looking good. But, you're in Galatians chapter 6, look in verse 9. Look at the end of verse 9. It says, for in due season we shall reap, if what? If we faint not. Look back over in Mark chapter 4. He says you're going to reap if you faint not. In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Okay, now what are we seeing here in this process? We are seeing every single person in this example receiving the word of God. Every single person in here has heard the word of God, and they're receiving it. But over in Galatians, we saw that we'll reap if we faint not. And here in Mark chapter 4, what we're seeing is things coming up in life that do what? Distract us. They distract us away from the promise that we want manifested. If it's healing, then we begin confessing the word of God, and I'll guarantee you something's... How many of you have ever done this before? You know, you hear a message like this, and boy, you're a ball of fire, and you're going to go out there and confess until the world has changed. And it lasts for a few days, and then stuff begins to happen. Stuff begins to, you know, come up. You get distracted. You get away from it. And pretty soon you realize 8 months has gone by, and you haven't confessed anything. Anybody been there besides me? Telling on myself, aren't I? So here we are, we're making these confessions, and progress is taking place, at least in the realm of the Spirit. Progress is taking place. Because He says, the sower sows the word. He says, you're going to reap if you faint not. He says that change is going to happen. This is God's promise. Whether we want to accept it or not, this is God's promise. And so He says, look, it's going. So we keep, He's like, yeah. Confess. By His stripes, God sent His word. And, you know, confess. Jesus took and Jesus bore. And, you know, confess. We keep confessing the word. And then we run into a Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, fainting spell. We become weary in well-doing. Things begin to happen in our life and we get distracted. Then what happens? We begin losing ground. And we keep losing ground. And we lose a little bit more ground. And we're getting frustrated. But here's the thing. The whole time that we're losing ground, this never changes. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. We may have changed what we're doing, but the Word of God has never changed. The Word of God hasn't altered one time. That Word is still true, no matter what. So now here we are. Oh, we were doing great there for a while, making all these confessions. But now... And at this point, what do?
This stuff doesn't work.
That confession stuff, it doesn't work. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Whose promise are you quoting at this point? You're not quoting God's promise because we just read God's promise. My son, attend to my word, give your ear, and listen to this, you know, life and health and all this. That's God's word. Jesus said, say it, believe it, and you'll get it. God said in His Word, if you sow to the Spirit, you are going to reap. Don't faint. Don't get weary. In due season, you are going to reap if you faint not. It's going to happen. A manifestation of a promise is going to take place if you don't give up. So here we are, worse off than what we were before. Don't understand why God won't heal us. Why God won't move. Why God won't do anything. Why God's not acting on our behalf. Why God doesn't care. Why God's just letting the devil do all this stuff in our lives and our kids' lives and everything else. Why is He just, you know, like turning a deaf ear unto my pleas for mercy? And God is up in heaven. He's saying, hey, I'm not the one that got weary in well-doing. Remember what I said in my word? I never slumber and I never sleep. I'm always on the job. I never get a day off. So don't complain to me anymore about the way things are. He says, you know, you took my word and you began to apply it, but what you failed to realize is that the manifestation and the change takes place in the realm of the Spirit before you're ever going to see it in the realm of the natural. And from God's perspective, when He looks at His words, you know, concerning healing, by His stripes you were healed. From God's perspective, what He is seeing is a sick body healed. Now that's how God saw a valley of dry bones that were disjointed as a mighty army. God sees a sick person's body as healed. This is how God sees it. Now, you may look at it differently. When you look in the mirror, what you're going to see is a valley of dry bones. Because your body's sick. The pain is there. Whatever. The financial problem is there. Whatever it is. You're going to see a valley of dry bones. But God sees a mighty army standing before Him. In other words, God sees you delivered from this. God sees you healed. God sees you, you know, making progress. That's what God sees. Because God's looking at the potential of His Word, not the failure of your circumstances. And this is something that you have to keep in mind. He's never going to consider your problem as being greater than the potential of His Word. However, your unbelief in His Word exalts the problem above the potential. Remember, Jesus goes to His hometown, couldn't do any mighty works because of their unbelief? Not His. Because of their unbelief. So here we are. Things have actually gotten worse. But we make a decision. All right. I'm going to try this again. Then what happens? We begin to confess. And we begin to speak. And pretty soon, if we hang in there, we're going to reap God's promise. God's Word will have gone from a dry bone of potential to a manifested reality of life. This is a guarantee that cannot fail. For each one of us, what we have to do is prophesy to the dry bones. What does that mean? What are the dry bones in your life? What are they? Your body? Is your body a valley of dry bones? What about your financial situation? Is it a valley of dry bones? What about your kids? Valley of dry bones? What about your job? A valley of dry bones? What about your relationships with other people? What about your ministry? What is the problem in your life? What are you going through right now? What are you facing? What is your valley of dry bones? God has a promise to bring those bones together, put flesh on them, cover them with skin, breathe life into them, and cause them not just to manifest as life, but to manifest exactly according to what His Word has said. It wasn't enough for Ezekiel to see those bones come to the place of being living, breathing people. They had to be living, breathing people in an army. That was the end result. Now, for each one of us, if we have an issue in our life, whatever it is, we have a promise from God. We have God's Word for our circumstances. And if we begin to confess His Word, whether it's just any problem you can think of, you're not going to change another person's will. But you can alter the circumstances that have been influencing them according to their will. And there are a lot of Christians that just poo-poo this stuff. You know, it's like they don't believe this. And you know why they don't believe it? It's because they see themselves as somebody who should automatically have God's promises manifesting without them having to do a thing. And then they get frustrated and they can't figure out, where is God in the midst of my problem? And God is saying, you don't get it, do you? I've done for you exactly what I did with Ezekiel. I told him what would happen. And I said, look, Ezekiel, here's my word. Now, you take my word and you, Ezekiel, prophesy to those bones. You prophesy to those dead bones. You speak my words of life to that dead situation. And when you do this, you are going to begin to see what I see manifest in the natural. Because when God gave Ezekiel the word, all he had was the word. That's it. He had nothing but a promise. That was it. Now here we are today. If your body is sick, if your finances are messed up, if you're this problem, that problem, whatever it is, do you understand that at this point, all you have is a promise? That's it. It hasn't manifested in your life. You say, well, how do you know that? Because if you've got the problem, then the answer hasn't manifested. You see what I'm saying? Why would you confess over a problem that doesn't exist? In other words, why would you confess for a healing to manifest in your body when there's nothing wrong with your body? You see what I'm saying from that perspective? Every single one of us in here, we have the exact same word as the person sitting next to us. Doesn't matter. Every single one of us has in our hands, when we hold our Bible, we have the exact same potential of every other person in the body of Christ when it comes to seeing God's promises manifested. The problem is in that up and down part. You know, you confess for a while, and you don't feel like, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you're seeing any change, you don't feel like you're seeing anything happen. But again, remember, you're sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing God's Word. You are sowing life into a situation. And it's going to take some time for it to manifest in the natural. And the worst thing that we can do is to get frustrated or distracted and quit speaking. Because when we do that, it's like the enemy, you know, our enemy of sickness, our enemy of poverty, whatever it would be. It's like it starts making some inroads back into our life. And so, you know, you're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But here's the thing. God's Word says, look, if you stay at it long enough, you are going to reap life. Galatians chapter 6 was talking to Christians. If you hang at this, if you stay there, if you just keep speaking, keep confessing, keep speaking my Word, change is going to come. But you know what's going to happen? You know what the first thing is? The first thing is taking place when you begin to confess God's Word? You are addressing your unbelief. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The first thing that's going to happen is you are going to speak life into the dry bones of belief. Because right now, unbelief is walking around with all the flesh, with all the sinews, with all the life. And the more that you begin to speak God's Word of life into your life, it's going to begin addressing the area of unbelief. Now granted, you pray in the Spirit, it's going to accelerate this whole process. And the more you speak the Word of God, the more you speak and confess over your situation and over your promises, the more you're doing a work on you than you are on the circumstance. Because the change starts in you. Remember, it's all spiritual first, before it manifests in the realm of the natural. But the thing is, you keep speaking, you keep speaking. You know, here's the thing. Does your life stink? I mean, it's like one problem after another, and you have no peace. But you know, the Bible says that Jesus has given us the peace that passes all understanding, not the kind of peace that the world gives. The Bible says that we can have a peace that goes beyond the human comprehension of what peace is all about. The Bible says we can have that. So therefore, we begin to speak that peace into our life, and what's going to happen is it's going to affect us in the realm of our spirit first before it affects us in the realm of the emotions. Because our spirit really is the part of us that's holding on. We've trained ourselves to hold on to unbelief. So we begin to speak, I have the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus has given me His peace. I walk in that peace. I have that peace. My heart and mind is guarded by this peace. We begin to speak that, and the change begins to take place in the area of our emotions, and then, or in the area of our spirit. Then it begins to impact us in the area of our emotions, and the change will manifest. You say, Brother Martin, it sounds like you know you're talking a whole lot of this, but I just don't know if I can believe you or not. I mean, because I tried this before and nothing happened. Okay. Based on what? You say you tried it and nothing happened. Based on what? So then, let me get this straight. We are supposed to base the reliability of God's Word on your experiences. I mean, is that what you're telling me? That I'm supposed to take a look at God's Word and say, well, you know, yeah, the Bible does say that, but, you know, Bob over here, you know, he said it didn't work for him, so I guess it must not work. Well, Joe over here, he said it doesn't work. Susie over here, she said it doesn't work. And that whole church over there, they say it doesn't work. So I guess, you know, it doesn't work, so I try. This is where a lot of people are. But I'm here to tell you right now, God's Word cannot fail. It is impossible for God's Word to fail. It can't fail. And every time that you confess His Word, you are making a positive spiritual impact on you. Or on your circumstance, whatever it would be, you are bringing about change. Now, listen, I will stand here and be the first to admit that I've blown it. I'll be the first to admit that when it comes to making the confessions, that I haven't confessed like I should have. And I've let up on my confessions in the past. And there'll be times I'll be driving down the road, it's like, oh man, I haven't done this, and I haven't been confessing this, and so on and so forth. I'm just like anybody else. Everybody goes through this. Trust me. I don't care who they are and how many TV stations they're on and how many books they've written. You know, they all go through this. They've all gone. It's a fight. It's a fight against the flesh because the flesh doesn't believe this will happen. That's because the flesh is depending upon the flesh. The flesh is depending upon the natural. The flesh is depending upon everything it can see. And if the flesh can't see it happen, then the flesh won't believe it. But in the realm of the Spirit, where everything started in the first place, you begin confessing and you keep speaking and you keep addressing the problem with God's Word, God's truth, which cannot pass away, and something's going to change. First, you're going to change. Then, eventually, you're going to see your circumstance change. And I know there are people out there, they get weird on this and try to confess things. They take God's Word and try to apply it in a way that doesn't work out. You can't do that. God's Word works only relative to what it says. If God were going to make His Word do things that it's not supposed to do, He would already be doing it. Meaning, for one, everybody would automatically be born again. He'd just make everybody get born again. But He says, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to believe in your heart. You have to call on the name of the Lord. Because My promise is, if you do that, then you get the manifestation of salvation. But if you don't do that, you're not saved. And you say what you want, preach what you want, but you're not saved. No matter what your church tells you, you're not saved. Because I have set in motion a promise that is never going to be altered. You call upon the name of My Son, believe in your heart I've raised Him from the dead, confess Him as Lord and Savior, and you're going to have the manifestation of that solution, the solution for your lost condition. It's going to happen. And that principle carries over into every other area of our life. And I'm telling you right now, this is why Christians don't see things happening like they want to see things happening. It's because we let ourselves get distracted, we let ourselves faint, we let ourselves get weary in well-doing, and we don't continue. We don't continue with the confessions, we don't continue making the progress. And as a result, we don't reap. But here's the thing. Even if you have been so close to seeing the manifestation to the answer of a problem, and you didn't know it, but you were that close, you know, it's not like you can't go back and start over. It's not like you can't pick up from this point and continue on. It's not like God is up in heaven saying, well, you know, you quit last time, so forget you. See if you get any promises. See if you get any blessings. I don't think so. I can't trust you. God says, you know, there's another rule that I've established, and that is that My Word will not return void, and My Word does not change. That means if you gave up on your confessions 10 years ago, and you decide to pick up and start again, you're going to be back on track to see change take place. Because My Word doesn't fail, and it doesn't change. So for every one of us, whatever we're facing, whatever our valley of dry bones, prophesy the Word of God to your dry bones and begin to see them come together. Begin to see flesh. Begin to see life. And begin to see the full manifestation of exactly what God has promised you. His Word will not fail you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, all you Ezekiels, stand up.